Stotara Shata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So, today is a very auspicious day. It's Ekadashi, so the mother of devotion. We can really try to dive deep today. We're really strongly in our sadhana and in seva. It's also the appearance day of Devananda Pandit, who was a dear associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and very dear to Mahaprabhu's devotee, Rakeshwar Pandit, who is one of the principal dancers for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his kirtans. And so I'll start just by glorifying him a little bit, giving a brief history of his place in Gaur Lila. So Devananda Pandit was a great commentator from the perspective of jnana on the Srimad Bhagavatam. People would come from all over to hear Devananda Pandit's dissertations on the Bhagavatam. And he had many students. This was in Navadvip. And so, one day, when he was giving one of his classes with his many students, Srivas Pandit went to hear the Bhagavatam, because Srivas Pandit is a Rasika Bhakta, and he's always trying to relish the Bhagavatam. So he said, "Let me go and hear this commentator's speeches on the beautiful Bhagavatam." And so he went, and when he heard Devananda Pandit speaking the Bhagavatam, because of the nature of the Bhagavatam, he fell into ecstasy, and he was rolling on the ground and crying and wailing, and he was exhibiting basically all of the ecstatic symptoms that are there. And Devananda Pandit's disciples immediately said, "Who is this rascal sentimentalist who has come, and he's not paying much attention to my spiritual master, he's not paying much attention to Devananda Pandit. You know, throw him out, eject him." And so they all forcibly picked him up and took him, and they threw him out of the house. They said, "You have to go. You're not fit to be here. This is for intellectuals." So Srivas, he was very hurt by this, but being a naturally humble devotee, he didn't tell anybody, and he went home, and he just kind of forgot about it. So one day, the other thing, Devananda Pandit, obviously, he didn't stop his disciples. So it's said that the guru takes the sinful reactions of the disciples if he doesn't correct them. And so since he didn't correct his disciples and watch them throw Srivas Thakur out of the house, he got some of the reaction of the Vaishnava aparad that they committed, because he was in the superior position. And so later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting his power. He was kind of like, it was in the same time he was manifesting himself as Lord Nisringadev, and he was showing that, to the devotees, that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm the root of all incarnations, and they're all contained within me. And so while he was doing this great display of majesty, he said to Srivas Thakur, he said, "Do you remember a year ago you went to hear the Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit?" And mind you, Srivas Thakur didn't tell anybody about this. So he said, "You went and you heard the Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit, and his disciples threw you out of the house, and he didn't stop them. Do you remember this, Srivas?" And Srivas just fell on the ground and grabbed Mahaprabhu's feet, because he was just awestruck that he knew this, because he didn't say anything. He didn't tell him. He didn't tell anybody. And so later on, because Mahaprabhu had exhibited this anger at Devananda Pandit for doing this, he was walking near his house, and he heard one of his Bhagavatam classes. And he immediately started chastising, because he was giving the class loud, and so he just started yelling, amongst all the devotees. He just went into a fit of anger. And he started saying, "This Devananda Pandit doesn't know anything about the Bhagavatam. He doesn't understand a word of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam can only be understood through bhakti. And he's just a dry jnani. He's giving some intellectual, you know, elucidation, and he's attracting many followers, but he has no taste. And he won't have any taste because he offended my devotee. And in this way, he said so many things, you know, to chastise Devananda Pandit. This wasn't said directly to Devananda Pandit, but Devananda Pandit could hear it, you know, while he was giving his class, I guess, because Mahaprabhu didn't actually approach him. He just went into an angry mood outside of his house. And so it said in Chaitanya Bhagavata that this really hurt Devananda Pandit's heart, but he didn't act on it. He didn't go and submit to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He continued to give Bhagavatam classes and continued doing what he was doing. But he was reflecting on this chastisement, and eventually a lamentation grew into his heart that he didn't act on that when he heard that chastisement, and he didn't go and approach this person who was so, I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, obviously, who was so infused with prema. And because he had been reading the Bhagavatam and he got a bit of mercy because of Mahaprabhu's chastisement, he started to see the actual point of the Bhagavatam. And so he developed this desire to submit to the Vaishnavas. And he developed a lamentation also for offending Srivas Thakur. And so one day, Vakreshwar Pandit came, who was, again, one of the best dancers in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtans. He came, and he was dancing in kirtan. And so Devananda Pandit was really, really trying to get close to Vakreshwar Pandit. And he was really trying to do some seva because he had developed this desire. And so Vakreshwar Pandit in the kirtan, Devananda Pandit, finally made his way up to the front of the crowd. And Vakreshwar Pandit fell down into ecstasy in the middle of the dance. He was dancing so ecstatically and the kirtan was so amazing. He fell into ecstasy. And he was completely passed out and, you know, he was just barely breathing like that. And so so Devananda Pandit went and picked him up and held him in his arms and, you know, cradled him and, you know, like that, trying to perform some seva, trying to make sure he didn't hurt himself, you know, rolling on the ground like that. And so that was the beginning of his bhakta seva, of his seva to the Vaishnavas. Later on, he came to the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and because he had rendered so much seva to Vrakeshwar Pandit, he fell at Mahaprabhu's feet and he said, you know, basically, I'm so lowly and I've been commentating on the Bhagavatam and I don't actually know the Bhagavatam. Like you said, you chastised me by your mercy. You said that I hadn't done this, and, you know, but please give me your mercy. And Mahaprabhu said, you know, I'll forgive anything, but I can't forgive on behalf of my devotee because you offended Srivas Thakur. And so Devananda Pandit, on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, he apologized to Srivas Thakur, and in that way he got the highest Krishna prema, and he became one of Mahaprabhu's intimate associates and a real Gaura Bhakta in the Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So there's more, but I don't have so much in my brain on that. I'm not so familiar with the pastime. Hopefully that was enough to glorify this great personality. We should pray to him and pray that he can help us to see how we can be relieved of whatever offenses we've made or making to the devotees around us. And certainly I can ask anyone in this room that I've offended, please forgive me. So let's move on to the Bhagavatam. Today we're in the fifth canto, 10th chapter, verse 19. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Taram chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jayamudire. Shinvatam svakata krishna.
Punya
shravana kirtana. Chasto Hibadrani Yirvinoti Suritsatam Nasta Praishu Badrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Canto 5, Chapter 10, Text 19. I'll just read the, we don't have it on the board, so I'll just read it. Aham cha yogeshwaram atma tattva vidam muninam paramam gurum vai prastum pravritta kimiharanam tat sakshad dhanim jnana kalavatiranam. Word for word, we can repeat this. Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Yoga Ishvaram.
Yoga Ishvaram.
The master of all mystic power.
The master of all mystic power.
Atma Tattva Vidam.
Atma Tattva Vidam.
Of the learned scholars.
Of the learned scholars.
Who are aware.
Who are aware.
Of the spiritual science.
Of the spiritual science.
Muninam.
Muninam.
Of such saintly persons.
Of such saintly persons.
Paramam.
Paramam.
The best.
The best.
Gurum.
Gurum.
The preceptor.
Preceptor.
Vai.
Vai.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Prashtum.
Prashtum.
To inquire.
To inquire.
Pravritta.
Pravritta.
Engaged.
Engaged.
Kim.
Kim.
What.
What.
Iha.
Iha.
In this world.
In this world.
Aranam.
Aranam.
The most secure shelter.
The most secure shelter.
Tut.
Tut.
That which.
That which.
Sakshat Harim.
Sakshat Harim.
Directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Jnana Kala Avatirnam.
Jnana Kala Avatirnam.
Who has descended.
Who has descended.
As the incarnation.
As the incarnation.
Of complete knowledge.
Complete knowledge.
In his plenary portion.
His plenary portion.
Known as Kapiladeva.
Known as Kapiladeva.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I consider your good self the most exalted master of mystic power. You know the spiritual science perfectly well. You are the most exalted of all learned sages, and you have descended for the benefit of all human society. You have come to give spiritual knowledge, and you are a direct representative of Kapiladeva, the incarnation of God, and the plenary portion of knowledge. I am therefore asking you, O spiritual master, what is the most secure shelter in this world? So this is Maharaj Rahuguna speaking to Judd Bharat after he realized Judd Bharat was a Mahabhagavat and was worthy of being surrendered to. So the purport by Srila Prabhupada is as follows. As Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham madgutennataratmana shradavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mata. Of all yogis, he who abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Judd Bharat was a perfect yogi. He was formerly the Emperor Bharat Maharaj, and he was now the most exalted personality among learned sages and the master of all mystic powers. Although Judd Bharat was an ordinary living entity, he had inherited all the knowledge given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapiladeva. He could therefore be taken directly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his stanzas to the spiritual master, Sakshad Daritvena Samasta Shastra, an exalted personality like Judd Bharat is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he fully represents the Lord by giving knowledge to others. Judd Bharat is herein accepted as the direct representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he was imparting knowledge on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Maharaj Rahuguna concluded that it was appropriate to ask him about Atma Tattva, the spiritual science. Tad vijnanartam sagarum eva vigachet. This Vedic injunction is also confirmed herein. If anyone is at all interested in knowing the spiritual science, Brahma Jigyasa, he must approach a guru like Jadavar. Om Agamati Vrandasya Vyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vidatamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Vrishtam Stapit Inamitale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dati Swapadanti Kam. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priya Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpa Tarugrascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namaho Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'll just read the translation one more time. I consider your good self the most exalted master of mystic power. You know the spiritual science perfectly well. You are the most exalted of all learned sages, and you have descended for the benefit of all human society. You have come to give spiritual knowledge, and you are a direct representative of Kapilavya, the incarnation of God, and the plenary portion of knowledge. I am therefore asking you, O spiritual master, what is the most secure shelter in this world? So, again, Maharaj Rahugana is now submitting to Jadvarad because Jadvarad has mercifully revealed himself and he's shown that Maharaj Rahugana was acting in a very, even socially unjust way. As a king, he was being very critical and very harsh to Jadvarad. And it wasn't even befitting a king, let alone someone who's seeking spiritual realization. And so this is a great act of mercy on behalf of Jadvarad, because the pure devotee, who Jadvarad is a Mahabhagava, reserves the right to reveal himself. So it's not that we can see a pure devotee. He has to come down to our plane of realization and say, here I am. Otherwise you'll never see him. Which this is illustrated perfectly by this story. Because Jadvara wasn't known to anybody. He was a fool. He's Jud. He's outwardly, I can't think of a nice word to say, but he was a fool. He did all the wrong things at the wrong times, but that was his act so he could stay absorbed in his bhajan, so he wouldn't be disturbed. But for some reason or other, he showed this mercy to Maharaj Rahugana. Now Maharaj, in the preceding 2 days of his classes, he gave some nice elucidations on that. One being that because Maharaj Rahugana was a king, and devotees are always interested in preaching on behalf of the Lord and bringing in as many people to the lotus feet of the Lord as possible. Jadvarad thought, well, he's a king, he'll influence a lot of people, and so let me enlighten him. And in that way, everybody who's underneath him is going to follow and have a big chance to cultivate God realization. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I'm doing these things because people follow me. What a great man does, other people follow. And so that's one nice insight into why Jadvara would reveal himself. And then the other is that Maharaj Rahugana, even though he acted in a very unkind way, he had some sukriti, he had some spiritual qualification, and this is indicated by the fact that he was traveling on a palanquin. So a king usually travels by chariot or by horse, but in this case he was traveling by palanquin, and in Vedic society, according to Maharaj yesterday, or the day before, yesterday, when you travel in a palanquin, when a rich person travels in a palanquin, it's only to go to some function that's based around spiritual realization. And the example that was given was Ramananda Roy. When Ramananda Roy went to the Godavari and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was traveling by palanquin because he was going to take a bath to get ready for some sacred performance like that. And so in the same way, Maharaj Rahugana was traveling in a palanquin. That means he was trying to cultivate spiritual realization. And this was also in the time of the Rajarshis, so he was, you know, a fairly saintly king anyway. But like that, so in this way, Jagbhara revealed himself. And so, this is very important. It's very important to keep in mind this fact that we can't see the sadhu. That the sadhu has to be made the subject, and we have to make ourselves his object. You know? And even with the deity, when we go in front of the deity, it's actually an offense to think, oh, I'm going to see the beautiful deity and let me, you know, in a kind of a sense gratificatory way, go in front of the deity and think, I'm going to see the deity. Because really, we don't have the capacity with our material senses to see the deity. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't act in such a way that you will see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna will see you. Because of our conditioning, we require a drastic paradigm shift, a drastic change in our consciousness. In Sanskrit, the words are drashta and drishta. So drashta means seer, and drishta means the seen. Right now, we're all running around thinking that we're the seer. I'm thinking, I'm the Lord of all I survey. I'll find what I need. We approach spiritual realization in a way that I'm going to read these books and I'm going to discover the truth, and then in that way I'm going to become self-realized. But really, like we say prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam, we say prayers to the spiritual master. When we give class, we sit on a vyasasan because we're trying to become transparent in such a way that plane will descend and spread mercy through us, to us, and through us. Because ultimately we're a preaching movement. So we have to make this switch. Guru Govinda Swami is always saying, drashta and drishta. You know, in reference to the guru, we have to be seen by the guru. Not that we'll ever see the guru, like Judd Barrett. He's a Mahabhagavan. He's perfectly self-realized. But nobody knew it. You know, he washed his hands before he went to the bathroom. Like he was very... very well concealed. But Maharaj Rahugana, because of his influence for other people and some sukriti, Judd Bharat gave him some mercy, and then he could see. So afterwards, after you know, we've shown some sincerity and we've developed some qualification, what is it that we do? How should we carry ourselves in that relationship? You know, so what Bhagavad Gita says, 434, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinam. So one should submit himself first. That's pranipat. So when you see somebody who has descended to that plane to you, and you'll get that feeling. We all have our shiksha gurus, and most of us have our diksha gurus, you know. And in that respect, I'm still begging and waiting. But you know, we all have our gurus, and there's a certain feeling that just isn't there in normal conversations. Everybody has had that, or should have had that change of heart, that feeling that this person is giving mercy to me. This person has descended in such a way that he's going to be able to help me, you know, and he actually has my highest welfare at hand, you know, in his mind. And so when we see that person, pranipat is the first thing that we have to do. Pranipat means to submit. We have to fall at that person's feet and say, you know, I'm yours. You know, I can see that I'm an idiot and that you're really, really, you're in touch with that higher plane. Then we pariprashna. Then we have to inquire. You know, so once you submit to somebody, the natural next step is to ask them how you can do something to help them, or to ask them to clear some doubt that you may have, you know, like that. So pranipat, pariprashna, we submit and then we inquire. And then the next thing, which is really the most important because it's the culmination of the relationship, is sevaya. So seva, Vaishnav seva. We have to render service in a way that is pleasing to Guru. You know? And so, with this word seva, you know, we can take it in a very external way, and we can think, okay, I have to do some seva for my Guru. So when he comes, I'll make sure I get him a nice warm glass of water when he gives class. And I'll make sure, you know, I arrange that he has some really nice prasadam, and maybe I'll see if he'll let me wash his clothes, or, you know, which this stuff is nice. It's good because in that way you're developing some personal connection, and you feel, you know, in your heart that you're doing something personal for your Guru. But seva really means that on the basis of your inquiry, on the basis of what you're asking, you carry out the instructions that you're given. That's real Vaishnav seva. Vaishnav seva is to take the instructions of the Guru, to learn his mood, understand his mood, and then to do what you know he desires in his heart. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, shortly before he left the world, he said, I have no real disciples. I have only pretend disciples. Because none of them have carried out what I said to the highest degree. None of them have 100% followed what I said. They all changed it to suit their own kind of desires and their own viewpoint. And they didn't actually follow what I said. So he's saying they didn't render the seva that I gave to them. Many of them were around me all the time and got me that warm glass of water and like that, but no one really did it. And so we call Srila Prabhupada Prabhupada, as I've heard it, because he actually knew Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's heart. You can only be called Prabhupada if you know the previous Prabhupada's heart and you carry that out. Like Rupa Goswami was Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. He was the first Prabhupada because he knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. And so I don't know the other connections, but I know Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also Prabhupada because he carried out the mission of Rupa Goswami, the previous Acharyas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over India and then setting the stage for it to be spread all over the world. And then Prabhupada is Prabhupada in the deepest, most intimate sense because he was the disciple that 30 years or so after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left, he took the instructions that he got from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and he applied them. So he actually performed this sevaya. He performed this Vaishnava seva. So, like that, we also have to try to understand the intention of our Guru and through his mercy execute his instructions. And a couple more. I just have to refresh myself. I apologize. Thank Krishna for the iPhone. So something interesting that I've come across in my reading that definitely ties in with Guru Tattva, because for some reason I need a guru because I'm just Bhakti Josh. But most of the things that I've been reading are gravitating towards that line. I'm very attracted to it right now. You know, it brings up a question. So we revere the spiritual master as Sakshadhari, as non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as that pure representative of the Sri Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it begs the question, how are we to process when our guru makes a mistake? How do we see when an acharya makes a mistake or does something in a way that is apparently not on the platform of pure knowledge, you know, our omniscience. Can anybody answer that? That's not the Torah. How are we supposed to process that? What is the tatva behind that? But is it that Guru is at all times, no matter what, omniscient, and does he know absolutely everything, past, present, and future? Or how does the tattva work?
The super soul tells him what he needs to know.
Yeah. So in that way, Guru isn't necessarily completely omniscient. Guru doesn't know everything. His qualification is that he's a transparent via medium to the parampara. It's not that we're supposed to accept that the guru is completely infallible in a material sense. There are a couple anecdotes with Prabhupada where, you know, disciples didn't do something or didn't say something or tell Prabhupada about some event, and then Prabhupada was like, "Well, why didn't you tell me?" And they're like, "Well, Prabhupada, I thought you already knew because you're Sakshat Hari, you know, you know everything because you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You must be Tri Kala Ga, you must know past, present, and future." And Prabhupada said, you don't understand. You don't know the tattva. Because the qualification of Guru, the qualification of a Vaishnava, is that he surrendered to the Vaishnavas above him. And that he's delivering the knowledge that he needs and that's given to him to help you. And so in that way, the Guru principle, because there is no difference, Prabhupada writes a beautiful paper on this on the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. Gave a speech where he says that there's no difference between my guru and your guru. There's no difference between any gurus. All gurus are Jagat Guru. Because the real guru is the guru principle that's coming down through that person. That person is making themselves a transparent via medium for this principle, who in the highest sense is Balaram, and then an even more, you know, in perspective of spiritual perfection, in an even more perfect sense, is Radharani. And so these instructions are coming through the representative from that highest plane. And in that way, they're perfect. And the Shastra, the Praman, that is given to back this up is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's in Madhya Lila 24:313, and the verse is Aham Vedmi Shuka Veti Vyasa Veti Naveti Va. So that says that I know, this is Lord Shiva speaking, so Aham Vedmi, I know, Shukadev knows, but Vyas, he may or may not know. But Vyasadev is, you know, he's Krishna himself, but he's incarnated in a partial form. So how is it that Vyasadev could write the Bhagavatam? Because this is what Shiva is saying. He's saying, I know the purport of the Bhagavatam. Shukadev certainly knows the purport of the Bhagavatam. But Vyasadev, he may know and he may not know. He doesn't say he doesn't know, but he says he may not know. So how is it that Vyasadev, the incarnation of God, who has split the Vedas and who has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam, may not know the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Yeah, well, it's because he's being a transparent via medium. It's just coming through him. And in the conversation where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this in the Madhya Lila, he says to Sanatana Goswami, he says, I'm telling you all these things, but I don't know where they're coming from. After I say them, I don't even remember what they are. I'm all this esoteric knowledge that's pouring out of me into you. You know, I don't know where it's coming from. So he's giving that example. And then also Krishnadas Kaviraj, when he writes the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, you know, this must be coming because of the desires of the Vaishnavas who have asked me to do it, because I don't know how all this knowledge is coming through me. So the qualification of guru is that he's transparent. And, you know, this is it's a very important point, really, to understand. It's very subtle because it can be very challenging to our faith, if especially if you're close to your guru and you see that, oh, he may have made a mistake. You know, he may have said something that wasn't perfectly right. And if we have this very low conception that everything guru says has to come true because what the Vaishnav says is always true and Krishna always makes it true, then, you know, we can get into a really big kind of mental gymnastic thing and really stress ourselves out because we're thinking, you know, now I have to change my perspective based on the fact that everything he possibly says has to be true. Even Prabhupada's books, there are many things in Prabhupada's books or in Prabhupada's statements that, you know, if you look at them without the right perspective, you can think, well, you know, that doubt can come up. How is it that this person is to be treated as Sakshat Hari? Like, he made statements like Balavanta Prabhu will become president, you know. From the lower perspective, you'll say, well, Balavanta Prabhu didn't become president, but everything the pure devotee says is supposed to come true. So how is it that Balavanta Prabhu isn't president? And there are a lot of different things. So I found this very interesting. I just wanted to share that, this the elucidation of this. Adi Purush Prabhu, please.
Yeah, there's a few examples.
So yeah, this is
all that is there, you know. You want to, you know, talk about these peripheral conclusion.
Yeah.
And I've got just one more.
Please, please, please.
But I'm glad you said talk to Dean for any question. You're talking about how you can't recognize the who, some people don't recognize, and Marjorie Hugan recognized, you know, so then he began to acquire some. But how does, let me ask you a question. You're saying if you have a guru, you should acquire submissively and render service, but it still doesn't say, how does that person recognize that the person you should acquire submissively and render service?
Again, the guru has to descend. So we have to cultivate the desire that I need guru in my life. So in the beginning, we're praying to the principal.
Right.
Prabhupada says we get guru through Krishna, and we get Krishna through guru.
So Krishna says you're looking for
exactly.
Krishna sends you guru.
Yeah, yeah,
so
Balaram.
It's your responsibility to desire.
Yeah.
Not a cheater.
Yeah.
But someone worthy of complete trust and obedience.
Yeah.
And if you do, Krishna will send.
Exactly.
Yeah, the person has a responsibility.
And when guru descends, you'll feel it. It's something that's in the heart. You'll understand that this person is my guru. You know, and then you have the opportunity to carry out the submission. I thought it was it's very nice that you brought that up. The manner in which one can not necessarily correct the guru, but this is real pariprashna. This is real inquiry. So if you see something that causes a doubt that your guru did, or you see something that may have not been right by your calculation, then you go to your guru, and this is all about the consciousness. You ask in a way that you're saying, but I thought it was like this, so please elucidate further. Please tell me. Not that you're correcting your guru, but you're realizing that you are having some sort of a difference in your sight, and it's causing a doubt. And so the consciousness is that you go with the intention of dispelling that doubt. And if you're not doing that, then Tri Guru, the principle, will smash you, because that's that's just how it works. You know, because again, he's your guru. If your guru is Sadguru, as Guru Govinda Swami says, many people, you know, they don't have a relationship with Sadguru. They just take a guru because it's the next step, because it's the thing to do, and it, you know, it's like it's socially going to help me to move upward in a certain society or something like that. But if you have a connection with Sadguru, if you've undergone this process of pranipat, pariprashna, and sevaya, if you're doing that, then guru will descend in ways that are corrective, and you will actually make advancement based on them. But yeah, we have to be humble. We have to submit. Thank you, Prabhu, for your additions. Hare Krishna.
I think also too, you know, it's none of it's done in isolation. So like, if something happens, you know, I think we have to think of it like, you know, if something happens where, you know, you're questioning guru, like, it's nobody's in isolation. I mean, this example, it's like alone, but normally there would be, you know, like a whole kind of community with guru. So I think it's really important what Krish Prabhu brought up about like inquiring, because like this, what we're in right now with Maya, I mean, a big part of it is isolation. So it's like if we take something that guru has done or said and we're like thinking about it as wrong and we don't inquire, then it affects every, like, your whole community.
Yeah. Well, then you completely compromise the nature of your relationship with guru. If you don't, like you're saying, if you stay isolated and you don't say anything, and then you're not inquiring, and then that means you for some reason you don't have some trust, or you're not surrendered all the way. You know, it behooves you to, we should be naked before our superiors. That's a very nice blunt way of putting it. Will you have something? Oh, I thought you raised your hand. Sorry. But yeah, we should be naked before our superiors. It's a good point. We should always, anytime there's anything, any doubt, you know, Guru wants us to come because he's trying to work on us. That's his service. And it's a hard service. He's trying to help us to reform. You know, he's being that transparent via medium. So if we don't make ourselves, you know, not even available, if we don't submit ourselves underneath that and give everything, then yeah, that's Maya, that's illusion. So that's a good point, thank you.
The nature of the conditioned soul is to have an excuse not to surrender.
Yeah.
Well, what does he know? You know, feel like that, you know.
Yeah.
So knowing that that disease is within us, to not have complete trust and obedience.
Yeah.
And to be careful that some people who desire somebody who's not worthy of their complete obedience, so they maintain their own independence. They have a pseudo disciple guru relationship. It's not
yeah.
really there.
Well, that's it. The nature of the material world is to want to be alone, to want to enjoy on a platform by myself, you know? And so in any relationship, a healthy relationship is judged by the amount of autonomy that a person is able to maintain in the relationship. Like, if you love somebody, if you're in a conjugal relationship in the material world, it's considered unhealthy if somebody becomes too clingy or gets too much in somebody else's head, and then the relationship sours because of that. But spiritual relationships, which the guru-disciple relationship is the first real relationship that brings you to the spiritual platform, those are on a completely different plane of existence. There has to be complete surrender. There's nothing you hide from your guru. There's nothing you wouldn't want to do for your guru. And there's, yeah, like that. Surrender has to be complete. So it requires a change in consciousness away from this tendency to want to be alone, this tendency to want to do my own thing and think, well, Guru shouldn't be bothered with that. Some little doubt, but I'll go to Vyas Puja and, you know, I'll make a cake, give him that warm glass of water. Like that. Prabhu?
Yeah, also another way of looking at it is like, oh, well, you know, I'm too fond of inquiring these things from you.
Well, that's definitely not, yeah.
Absolutely.
Now you're saying I'm too fallen, and so my guru doesn't have the potency to save me. You know, that, so you're lowering your guru. We have to do darshan. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Vaishnava devotees of the Lord.